I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson. In the headlines, President Mills condemns violence at some biometric voter registration centers. Ghana Health Service to introduce two new vaccines to reduce childhood mortality. Government to do all it can to apprehend murderers of Zimbabwean investor in Japan. Ghana and Togo formalize agreement to share treated water. Nigeria's Islamic sect Boko Haram vows to bring down President Jonathan's government within 3 months. An attempted coup in Guinea-Bissau.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
President John Evans Atta Mills has condemned in the strongest term the violence that has characterized the biometric voters' registration in some parts of the country. He has therefore asked Ghanaians to help make the exercise peaceful. President Mills said the registration is to enable people to vote in this year's election and may also use the card to transact business. He was not happy that some people have decided to foment trouble to mar the integrity of the exercise. President Mills said this at a flow after he had inspected the registration in some parts of the Volta region, our presidential correspondent said the year reports.
President Mills visited registration centers in Akachi, Bato, Sogakofe and Aflao. He reiterated the need to jealously guard the country's peace and stability.
There are people in this country who believe in violence. Violence does not help anybody. Violence does not repair roads. Violence does not put food on the table. Violence leads only to destruction. And anybody who wants power and wants to use violence is someone who wants to lead our country into destruction. I want to make an appeal to all of us to think about Ghana. Ghana is the only country we have. Sometimes when you look at the TV and watch countries which are in trouble, they are carrying suitcases, they are carrying blankets, they are carrying chop boxes. Ask yourself, first, where are they going? And what is in the thing that they are carrying?
President Mills expressed satisfaction with the exercise in the areas that he visited. Says Iya, reporting for Radio Ghana.
The deputy chairman of the National Commission for Civic Education, Mrs. Augustina Akume, says the political code of conduct aimed at guiding politicians' campaign decently has become a mirage due to recent violence associated with the ongoing biometric voters' registration. Mrs. Akume said the attitude of some politicians during this time is a bad sign for the country's democracy. She spoke to Agatha Samoa on our current affairs program, Behind the News.
2 weeks ago, the IEA launched the Political Parties Code of Conduct Enforcement Body, which I am also a member. And the idea of enforcement body is all the political parties met with civil society organizations and signed a pact and formed a code of conduct. And part of all this registration, they said they will go on well and nothing will happen. So such incidents should not have been challenged to lead into fight. Reports should be made to the enforcement bodies in each region or district, and people will sit down and resolve amicably, without all this rancor. I think it's very bad for our democracy if ordinary registration has started this sort of mob behavior.
You said it's ordinary registration, so why do you think it's being characterized by negative events?
I don't know. I'm quite surprised at why it should be like that. because I've seen 3 registrations and I never saw this kind of atrocities going on. So,
commenting on the issue, the chairman of the National Peace Council, Most Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante, said recent happenings is against the wish of transparent, free and fair elections in December.
What is happening doesn't speak well of what is ahead of us. If right from the beginning we are beginning to see things of this nature, people are beginning to use thuggery, macho men here and there, it doesn't speak well of our democracy. It doesn't speak well of what we have in mind in terms of the elections itself and even the reception of the results of the election. I will use this opportunity to appeal to all and sundry that we've come this far. Ghana has conducted about 5 peaceful elections and we have made a name. Please let us not destroy our reputation.
Most Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante speaking on Behind the News. The Executive Director of the West African Network for Peace Building, Emmanuel Bombandi, says the country is understanding the peace and security. It's underrating the peace and security it is enjoying. He said there can never be law and order as long as the general populace is incited. Speaking on our current affairs program Behind the News, Mr. Bombandi said it is important that Ghanaians remind themselves of what is happening in other neighboring countries. Mr. Bombandi called on all to avoid violence and live in harmony with their political opponents. He spoke to Agatha Samwa.
We can be very complacent in Ghana and we take too many things for granted. There is a certain sense in which we feel that we are isolated or we are probably insulated from some of the challenges that we've experienced in our neighboring countries. And the political discourse is one in which we provoke the violence, but we turn around and insist that the police must stop it. Security is when the security agencies are enforcing the laws to ensure law and order. But we must admit that they can never do that 100% as long as the general populace is incited with the current aggressive disposition, with the current psyche of a zero-sum game in the elections, we will continue to be dealing with the type of outbursts of violence that we are seeing. It is when all of us, with a good example from all political leaders, indicate the level of tolerance, the level of reaching out to one another, and a level of healthy competition, can we be talking about the peacefulness of the elections.
If you look at the happenings in Ododo, time, Pafu, Pankone, is anything to go by? Are we going to have a peaceful election in December?
First of all, we need to exude the confidence and we need to be able to inform ourselves that December will be a peaceful and credible election. Because elections are processes, we cannot be talking about the December elections when the early warning signs that we are seeing now indicate the contrary.
And Executive Director of the West Africa Network for Peace Building, Emmanuel Bombandi, talking to Agatha Asamoah. The Ghana Health Service is introducing 2 new vaccines into the immunization program to reduce childhood mortality. These are pneumococcal for pneumonia and meningitis and rotavirus for diarrhea for children under 5 years. The vaccines are to give extra protection to children and help attain the 4th MDG, which aims at reducing childhood deaths. This was made known by the National Program Manager of the Expanded Program on Immunization, Dr. Kojeji Eji, at a media briefing in Accra. The Ghana Health Service wants the media to assist it to carry out education on the 2 new vaccines. Georgette Cole has the rest of the story.
Diarrhea and pneumonia are among the leading causes of death in children under 5 years. To curb this situation, 2 other vaccines will be added to the expanded program on immunization on the 26th of this month. This will bring to 4 the number of new vaccines introduced this year. The 4 are PVC-13, rotavirus, measles second dose, and the meningococcal A vaccine. Dr. Njige said, the mission of the program is to contribute to the overall poverty reduction goal by decreasing the vaccine-preventable diseases through immunization. This, he said, is an essential component of primary health care.
Preventable disease control contributes towards reducing the under 5 deaths. So we are tackling it. But it's not the only program being run by the Ghana Health Service. A program to address malnutrition. There's a program to control malaria and other activities to also reduce the incidence of diarrhea and pneumonia.
Dr. Njige explained that the rotavirus virus is an oral administered vaccine, while the pneumococcal is given as an injection on the child's right side at 6, 10 and 14 weeks of age by a trained health worker.
The two new vaccines are the pneumococcal vaccine, which is an injectable vaccine, is given at 6 weeks, 10 weeks and 14 weeks of age. And once the child goes to the clinic, it will be given together with the vaccines which are already in existence on the same day. And then it protects against pneumonia and other diseases caused by the pneumococcal bacteria, like sinusitis, middle ear infection, and even some form of meningitis. Then the rotavirus vaccine is given at 6 weeks and 10 weeks of age. That's why it's only two, and is given to prevent forms of diarrhea which is caused by the rotavirus.
The Deputy Minister of Health, Roger Metelninu, noted that countries that have introduced those vaccines have experienced major reduction in severe diarrhea and pneumonia. Mr. Metelninu asked the public to embrace the new vaccine to ensure good health care for all children under 5 years.
That was Georgette Cole's report. The 2012 State of the World's Children's Report has revealed that more than a half of the world's population, including 1 billion children, live in urban areas. The report launched yesterday by UNICEF in Accra, however, indicated that a good number of these children are denied basic essentials of life, such as electricity, clean water, and health care. Launching the project, the Minister of Women and Children's Affairs, Mrs. Juliana Azuma Mensah, acknowledged the need to reach out to these children. Helen Kujo's father's report.
Meeting the needs of children in urban areas continue to pose a challenge to stakeholders. Mrs. Azuma Mensah said, the State of the World's Children Report will provide data which will cater for the vulnerable children in urban centers.
I'm therefore excited that we now have reference material to provide us valuable information on the situation of children and women densely populated localities. We must go beyond that and use this data to really improve upon the situation. The survey findings will also present a wealth of data for monitoring and measuring the situation of women and children in general, and in the particular context of Millennium Development Goals for this targeted locality. Urbanization is fast becoming a problem in Ghana, especially within the Accra metropolis. Women and children migrate from all over the country to Accra with the intention of seeking greener pastures and really end up in worse situations.
The Metropolitan Chief Executive of Accra, Alfred Van Der Poel, lamented over the undue pressure on the facilities in the metropolis. He called for a non-partisan approach in finding lasting solutions to the problem. During the occasion, one other report, the Multiple Indicator Cluster Survey, was launched. This report provides data on the situation of children in 5 high-density poor areas of Accra. These include Nima, Accra New Town, Jamestown, La, and Bubuashi.
That was Ellen Kujo's report. As part of measures to promote the quality of health of the citizenry, a forum has been organized for buyers and sellers of banned second-hand goods. They were also educated on the dangers associated with using such goods. The forum, organized in Kofodia, was a collaborative effort between the Ghana Standards Authority and the Ministry of Trade and Industry. Our correspondent Anita Inkum has the rest of the story.
A legislative instrument 1586, which was passed in 1994, sought to ban certain second-hand clothing in the country. These include handkerchiefs, underwears, mattresses, singlets, towels and sanitary wares made up of sinks and water closets. Despite being in existence for almost 18 years, it is yet to be enforced fully. According to the director in charge of the Inspectorate Division of the Ghana Standards Authority, Charles Amaku, investigations have revealed that the use of such second-hand goods has serious health implications. Some of the goods he revealed have a lot of fungi, viruses and bacteria, among others, which are dangerous to users. Though these goods are fumigated, Mr. Marco said some of the organisms show resistance and can live in such clothing for several years due to sweats which help them to live. He said the education and sensitization have been ongoing to expose users and sellers to the health hazards in using such products and the need to ban them. A director of trade facilitations at the Ministry of Trade and Industry, Intim Donko, observed that despite the ban, some importers conceal such goods in others which are not banned, and this makes it very difficult to detect and seize them at the ports and borders. He cautioned people to be mindful of their health and avoid patronizing such banned goods.
Anita Incombs report. Child trafficking is said to be on the increase in Ghana, despite the law that forbids it. Various interventions have been put in place to stop the practice, but traffickers still find ways to ply their trade. The Christian Council of Ghana has launched a policy brief to highlight the situation of trafficked children in the country. The brief, among others, appraises the situation of trafficking and suggests policy options to mitigate the menace. Speaking at the launch of the document in Accra, the Executive Secretary of the Council, Dr. Fred Digby, called for concerted efforts in tackling the situation. Brighton Trauma has more.
The 8-page document represents the perspective of the Christian Council of Ghana on child trafficking. The document assesses the situation of trafficking, the trafficking process, the existing legislations and interventions by the Council in eliminating the menace. The General Secretary of the Christian Council of Ghana, Dr. Fred Degbe, says lack of coordination from the various stakeholders is hampering efforts to eliminate child labor. He noted that poor knowledge base of the security apparatus on issues relating to child trafficking and worst forms of child labor as one of the challenges. Poverty, unemployment and poor parenting are also factors.
Most trafficked children are used as labor force on farmlands, stone quarries and in the fishing sector. Some factors contributing to child trafficking in Ghana are poverty, illiteracy, ignorance, displaced priority of the parents and the community, unemployment, or sometimes we say these guys unemployment or underemployment, and poor parenting in particular.
Dr. Depe suggested intensive national public education on child trafficking and its dangers through campaign and advocacy. He noted that strong collaboration among traditional authorities and the law enforcement agencies is required to eradicate trafficking. A child protection specialist at UNICEF, Idris Abdallah, called for more proactive measures to tackle the issue of child trafficking.
That was Brighton Sharma's report. The National Pensions Regulatory Authority has put measures in place to check the activities of the various trustees under the pensions reform scheme. These steps are to help manage the resources of the contributors, control the challenges, and maximize the needed profit. The authority is also formulating a policy that will make it mandatory for trustees to be more transparent in order to avoid conflict of interest. The Director of Regulation at the authority, Ernest Amati Von D, said this at the forum in Accra. Here's a report by Antoinette Abba.
The forum is to educate the public and stakeholders on the new pension reform scheme and place them in a position to make informed decisions. Mr. Bondi said the new scheme, known as the three-tier pension scheme, comprises two mandatory schemes and a voluntary scheme, which was introduced in 2008 to oversee the efficient administration of pensions in the country. The first tier, which is mandatory for all employees in both public and private sector, will be managed by SNIT. The second is an occupational scheme, which is also mandatory but will be managed by private investors. The third is voluntary. Mr. Bondi said the three-tier will guarantee the contributors with more benefits than the old scheme. Early withdrawal can be made after 10 years of contribution under the second and third tiers. Also, an employee can move the fund from one place to another in case of job change.
The contributions are tracked. The investments that come to add on to the contributions are monitored. So at any point in time, at any time fee, we want to tell you how much you have your pension. So in the second tier scheme, that's the occupational pension scheme, you can use that as a security for a mortgage from financing institution to buy a house. A lot of tax exemptions in terms of the contributions and also the investment income, you have tax exemption. By the time the person is going on retirement, he has a good enough amount of money that he can use for other things.
That was Antoinette Abba's report. The Executive Secretary of the African Capacity Building Foundation, ABCF, Franny Lutia, says qualified human capital is scarce in sub-Saharan Africa. The situation, she said, hinders growth and undermines the foundation of sustainable development. It is in the light of these challenges that ACBF has signed a $9.6 billion grant agreement with four African institutions covering the whole continent to support them to get the requisite capabilities to effectively manage their economies. Here's a report by Sandra Danso.
The African Capacity Building Foundation has been supporting capacity development on the continent for 2 decades. The support focuses on improving financial management and accountability, enhancing public administration and management, as well as strengthening the policy analysis capacity of national parliaments. Dr. Franny Lutter said the grant is critical because some African countries have rich mineral resources that need to be translated into the growth of the economy. She said with ACBF's support, the beneficiaries can train people who can design policies to manage these resources. One of the beneficiaries from Kodesra, Dr. Ibrahim Sow, says he is delighted that ACBF has approved the grant to support the institution in its activities. Other beneficiaries are EPM Abidjan, EPM Yaoundé, and CESAG. The University of Ghana will also sign a grant with the foundation soon.
That was Sandra Danso's report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. President Mills condemns violence at some biometric voter registration centers. Ghana Health Service to introduce 2 new vaccines to reduce childhood mortality. Government to do all it can to apprehend murderers of Zimbabwean investor in Drapong. Ghana and Togo formalize agreement to share treated water. Nigeria's Islamic sect Boko Haram vows to bring down President Jonathan's government within 3 months. An attempted coup in Guinea-Bissau.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Challenges that characterize the implementation of the single spine pay policy seem not to end anytime soon. The latest group to raise issues about salaries and the policy is the National Association of Graduate Teachers. At a news conference in Accra, the vice president of the association, Angel Kabonu, mentioned the payment of SSSS arrears, failure of Controller and Accountant General's Department to issue pay slips for February and March, and non-payment of salary incremental credits as some of the problems which need to be addressed. Rosalind Ganyaglo has the rest of the story.
The Vice President of NAGRAT, Angel Kabonu, said no teacher can tell the amount of salary arrears due him or her at the end of every month. This, he said, is frustrating. He also alleged that there has been reductions in the amount of arrears as well as non-payment of salaries for some teachers for the past 2 months. Mr. Kabonu said the explanation by the controller that some teachers are on conversion differences and hence do not deserve salary arrears is untrue.
Anomalies in our salaries from controller and accountant general department, mainly one, distortions in salaries that are paid on monthly basis. You don't have a fixed figure and no explanation has been given to that. And also there are arrears that teachers are supposed to collect with the implementation of the single spine. And you don't see the head and tail of the payment of the arrears. We expected that controller and accountant general would have informed teachers how much they are supposed to pay, the modalities of payment, so that everybody can understand. Hence, we are asking that by the end of this month, April, when salaries are paid, the problem will be rectified.
Mr. Kabonu also said Nagrat suspects a foul play on the part of the controller since it is denying teachers of the true record of their salaries and called on government to investigate the matter. The association also registered its displeasure at the slow pace at which inputs are being made in relation to the payment of newly recruited teachers. Mr. Kabonu stated that if the ways of administering salaries of teachers are not altered as soon as possible, the association will resort to all options available.
That was Rosalind Ganyaglo's report. The bamboo and rattan industry will soon start booming as the Forestry Commission and the International Network for Bamboo and Rattan work round the clock to develop the markets for the two commodities. Bamboo and rattan are considered suitable complements to timber. The president of the Bona Afro Regional House of Chiefs, Osahini Kweku Atechi, made this known at a workshop in Accra. A report by Settleton.
Bamboo and rattan have enormous potential to economies in Africa. However, this sector for some reason has been neglected due to rapid depletion of tropical forest resources. Bamboo is mostly used in the construction of furniture industry due to its durability and strength. Osahini Kweku Atechi said, bamboo is an alternative for firewood and can be used in different ways. He said, in light of this, the public needs to be educated to curb this misuse. He added that it is imperative for government to invest in the bamboo and rattan sector to create more jobs for the youth.
That was Seth O2's report. Government says it will go all out to apprehend the murderers of a 49-year-old Zimbabwean agro-investor, Andre Meyer, in Gabon, in the Volta region last week Tuesday. Mr. Meyer was allegedly killed over land dispute. President Mills has asked the chiefs and people of the area to assist the police with information so that the perpetrators will be arrested on time and prosecuted. The president gave the assurance when he met the people of Japan. Our presidential correspondent said the year report.
President Mills described the murder of Mr. Meyer as a dastardly act which must be condemned by all Ghanaians. He said his death is a drawback to efforts to woo investors into their country.
We have been out of the country to various countries asking investors to come and invest in our country. On our own, we cannot develop our country at the rate that we want. We need foreign investors for all kinds of reasons. The world over, all the countries which are like us are seeking investors. There's great competition. So for an investor to decide to come into your country, he must have some special reasons. There must be some attraction. Who is going to invest in Ghana if we are going to assassinate people who have brought their capital and their technology into our country? And I promise you, our government will do what is necessary to be able to find the perpetrators.
President Mills used the meeting to speak strongly against protracted land disputes and its attendant destruction.
We spend all our time fighting over land, fighting over land. Can anybody go out with land? So when people come and they are genuine, welcome them. Enter into an agreement with them, an agreement which will benefit you and your people. There are people who do not care what they do. They will fight over land. Once they've got the land or driven people off, they will not put the land to any use. This is what we are seeing here. They are making our work difficult. That whatever has gone wrong will be corrected by us. And we'll make sure that situations that we have experienced are not repeated.
The paramount chief of Volu, Togbega Komiagbeleza, appealed to President Mills to make Joapong either a district or a constituency. Government should also revive the Joapong textiles factory, which used to offer employment for the youth in the area. It should as well upgrade their clinic to a hospital, among other requests. Seth Iya, reporting for Radio Ghana.
The Vice President John Dramani Mahama has delivered a goodwill message on behalf of President John Evans Atta Mills to the Chinese President Hu Jintao. The letter containing the message was received by the Chinese Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs Zhang Zijun in Beijing. The Vice President said the bilateral ties between Ghana and China have been strengthened over the years as the two countries continue to exchange high-level delegations. Mr. Mahama said President John Evans Atta Mills' visit to China in 2010 resulted in the two countries reaching several agreements. He mentioned the $3 billion CBD facility as one of the significant agreements that was extended to Ghana during President Mills' visit. Mr. Mahama said his visit to China is to follow up on the agreement. Ghana and Togo yesterday formalized the agreement for the supply of treated water from the Volta River to Lome, Togo. It is under the Sogakofe-Lome Transboundary Water Supply Project. The project, which will be funded by the African Development Bank, has been on the drawing board since the early 1970s. The Minister for Water Resources, Works and Housing, E.T. Mensah, signed for Ghana, while the Togolese Minister for Water, Sanitation and Rural Water endorsed for his country. The Nigerian Islamist sect Boko Haram intends to bring down the government and devour President Goodluck Jonathan within 3 months. Its purported leader, Abubakar Shekau, said the president cannot stop them as he had promised to do by the middle of the year. Mr. Shekau, who was flanked by four masked men holding rifles, said they will end President Jonathan's rule. Boko Haram, which wants Sharia law applied across Africa's biggest oil producer, has killed hundreds of people in bomb and gun attacks in northern Nigeria and around the capital, Abuja, this year. Soldiers are reported to have taken over parts of the capital of Guinea-Bissau in what appears to be a coup attempt. Reports say there is fighting near the residence of outgoing Prime Minister Carlos Gomez, who came first in an inconclusive presidential election last month, but failed to win outright. Troops are also reported to have taken control of the national radio station and the ruling party's headquarters. The whereabouts of Mr. Gomez and the interim president, Raimondo Pereira, are currently unknown. Guinea-Bissau has been plagued by a long series of coups since gaining independence in 1974. To end the news, the main points again. President John Evans Atta Mills has condemned the violence that has characterized the biometric voters' registration in some parts of the country. He was speaking after inspecting the Aflao Registration Center. Ghana and Togo have formalized the agreement for the supply of treated water from the Volta region to Lome, Togo. The Minister for Water Resources, Works and Housing, E.T. Mensah, signed for Ghana, while Togolese Minister for Water, Sanitation and Rural Water endorsed for his country. And Nigeria's Islamist sect Boko Haram says it will bring down President Goodluck Jonathan's government within 3 months. The leader of the group, Abubakar Shekau, said the president cannot stop them as he had promised to do by the middle of the year. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson in Accra.